In the name of the one God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Amen. So growing up, our kitchen table was a farmhouse table, and rather than chairs, we had two long benches. Maybe some of you had a table like that with a big long bench, one on each side. And in retrospect, I believe that the reason we had benches and not chairs is so that we would have space as our numbers would expand and contract. Because even though there are eight children in my family, there also would often be another friend or two or three who would show up at the table. They would be hungry, hungry for food, hungry for love. I kind of wonder if they weren't hungry for loud noise, because we were not quiet. I think of kitchen tables as story keepers. Have you ever thought about it that way? But they really are. Our kitchen tables are our story keepers. We cry, we laugh, we argue, we decompress from our day around the table. What stories have your tables kept? Imagine the stories that the table in the upper room could tell. Did it feel Judas's nervous energy as he wrestled with the resolve to betray his beloved? Peter's indignation at the suggestion that Jesus would wash his feet, maybe even Jesus's compassion, possibly even fear. In her sermon entitled The Holy Thursday Revolution, Pull Up a Chair, Diana Butler Bass reminds us that the liturgies of the Triduum, which are Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, and I'm going to do this plug for all three of them and say, you're here now, keep going, stay through the whole thing. This is one long liturgy. You don't have to sleep here all those days, but just come on back. It's really beautiful when we give ourselves over to it, I promise you. So those liturgies in the post-resurrection appearance in the Gospel of John begin and they end at the table in the upper room. I'd never thought about that before. The pattern Butler Bass identifies is table, trial, cross, tomb, tomb, table. Jesus went from table to cross, and then from tomb to table. Come to the table, Jesus urges us. Come to the table and share your lives. Come to the table and nourish one another. Come to the table and remember me. Remember what I have taught you by word and by example. Remember how I washed your feet like a servant. Remember how I fed you. Remember how I sat at the table with those whom the world discarded? Remember, time and again, Jesus broke bread with those who were shunned by society. It begs the question, who do we allow at the table? Who do we exclude from the table? Our dinner tables, our boardroom tables, all of the tables that we are party to. So a little while back, we took a parish survey. You might remember this. We did it in relation to wanting to have some ideas of where we might go with the new Threshold Center at Crosshaven. And one of the questions asked was about identifying an experience at St. Stephen's that positively impacted the survey takers' well-being. A significant number of you mentioned that the invitation to the table, which is recited before communion is distributed, which begins, this is the table, not of the church, but of the Lord. It is made ready for those who love him down the line. That hearing that invitation had incredible impact on your sense of well-being and your sense of belonging, particularly as visitors. So did you know that technically that invitation is against the canons or the laws of the Episcopal Church? Did you know that, you rule breakers? It is, because the official stance of the Episcopal Church is that only baptized Christians receive communion. And yet former rector Russell Kendrick and current rector, now John, as the chief liturgists at the time at St. Stephen's, both decided with the support of the vestry to break that rule for the sake of expanding who is welcome to the table. I want to note that there is a deeper theology which undergirds this decision that I really don't have the time to explore at this moment. But I promise you, John knows he's breaking the rules, and we all are, and he knows why. We know why we are doing it, okay? I'm proud to serve at a parish that is open and has an open and welcoming stance, proud of our being one of the first parishes in the diocese to sanction the blessing of same-sex marriage. I'm proud of who we are at St. Stephen's, and I wonder also, are we doing all that we can to follow Jesus' example of breaking bread with the likes of those who are different from us? Are we doing everything we can to follow in that way? Are we as individual members of the body of Christ doing all we can in our homes and at work to make sure that there are seats at the table for people who are marginalized? Do all persons have a voice, even if they have a seat? Just think about it. In your world, who really doesn't have much of a seat or much of a voice? When Jesus called Matthew, a tax collector, what did he say to him? He said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Get your life in order and then follow me, thank God," because that would have been a trick. He just said, "Follow me. Just the way you are, let's go." I'm guessing that's what he says to us too, right? Do you know where Jesus led Matthew when he said to follow me? Do you know where they went? They went to Matthew's own table. They went back to the table, to Matthew's own table. And for Matthew to follow Jesus there, he had to leave something behind, didn't he? He had to leave his little tax collection booth and go on to table with Jesus. What are we, what are you, what am I being encouraged to leave behind to truly follow Jesus? We've been praying and studying and giving extra alms this Lenten season. What has God revealed in your heart that it is time to let go of? Where are we like Judas selling out? Where are we like the pre-transformation Matthew, greedy and self-serving? I've been around a lot of family these past few weeks, and I had an uncomfortable realization that I was really enjoying my place of privilege within the ranks of my family, just a bit too much. And worse, I was not treating all of the members of my family with love. You know how there's a pecking order in families, right? Take 8 siblings and watch that party. Thank God we all get along. But it happens, and I'm not proud of my response. So as hard as it is to admit what I just admitted to you, I thank God for revealing this to me, that revealing my sense of self-importance, and I pray for the grace to grow in humility and in kindness and pulling up a chair for the ones who are often excluded. Jesus says to Peter before his washing his feet, that not all of you are clean. And in that moment, he was referring to Judas. Let's face it, there is a bit of Judas in each and every one of us, isn't there? What in your heart, what in your way of being, betrays Jesus's command to follow him, and more importantly, to love one another as he has loved us? I've got my list. You heard a little part of it. What's on your list? Greed for power, money, things? Being complicit with racism, sexism, any ism that dehumanizes another person? Pride, wasting gifts given, gluttonous living that destroys the planet, lust, envy? Really, take a minute. Just take a minute right here. Where? Where don't I love as Jesus loves? But let's not linger there long, because we are washed in the compassion of Jesus's love. Yes, we are not entirely clean. There are Judas-like ways in each and every one of us. The baptismal-like rite of washing feet that Jesus undertakes with his beloveds symbolizes his desire to wash us clean of the worst of ourselves. And herein lies the revolutionary new beginning Jesus dramatically calls us to. Love one another as I have loved you. The beginning of the revolution Jesus came to incite. A revolution where the last are first. A revolution where the worst of us is transformed into the best of us. Believe that. A revolution where we love one another as Jesus loved us, sacrificially, compassionately, and with force, a forceful kind of leading and loving from behind. Follow Jesus through the movement of tonight at table, serving and calling us to love. Follow Jesus through tomorrow, giving all of himself in love. Follow Jesus through the joy and the hope of the resurrection, believing in that. Suzanne Guthrie writes, in the Holy Thursday Revolution, Beatrice Bruteau says, the whole of the world order is turned upside down in the Mandate Novum, new commandment. The mandate to love one another as I have loved you. To love one another is a revolution of stance, a paradigm shift against all instincts, a movement from the powers and politics of domination by resistance to resistance by sharing, by love, and by communion. Can human beings change? She asks. Can we change? What do you think? Can we change? Bruteau makes the case that, in fact, it is nature itself that demands change. We can change. We really can change as long as there is breath in us. And that change begins as we pay attention to the stories of our tables. Maybe we pull up our chairs with a bit more humility and a desire to serve rather than to be served. Maybe we invite and listen to new voices around our table. As we come forward to serve and be served in a moment when we will be washing one another's feet, into this baptismal wash of a new beginning, I pray with all of my being that our hearts blaze with the new commandment. My friends, love one another as Jesus has loved us. Amen.